Ne vielleicht wollen wir Schokolade.
And what else?
Genau.
You're wearing them.
And nur Pyjamas.
Hello and welcome to episode 206 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam.
In Vancouver. I mean, it's really after 206 shows.
I like to mix it up.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't.
Like an Easter egg or something.
Yeah, yeah.
At Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah. What is going on? Before we start, I don't even care what's going on, Adam.
Perfect.
Amazon.
Yes.
I've been buying stuff on Amazon.
I have not.
I almost bought a TV on Amazon the other day, but then I didn't.
Oh.
Yeah. I bought it locally instead.
Great. That doesn't help our situation.
No, but I wanted to give everybody out there an example of what not to do.
Okay.
Don't do that. Don't help out local businesses.
Right.
Help out us.
Okay.
Or, even better, go help with the local businesses and then just, you know, send the little percentage to us. I don't know how that works.
In an envelope. An envelope filled with cash.
Yeah. Ask for like a 4% discount from Brighouse TV.
Right.
And then send that 4% to Adam.
Okay. Or just drop it off. Just drop it off at my house.
Great idea.
Yeah.
That's how everybody wins in this scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome if you start looking at things on Amazon. This is actually, you know what I did do? I actually bought a television this week.
Okay.
That I looked at on Amazon and then went and bought in the store. The opposite of how everyone else does it.
Right.
Yeah, it was the same price.
Right.
And I just was like, I wanted to go see it. I wanted to go physically see if it was as feather light as I thought it would be.
Cray.
And it is. So,
and so then you decided, hey, I'm just going to make this purchase right now and walk out with it versus click through our site.
Something like that. There are other ins and outs and what have yous involved. And the main issue was if the TV showed up and there was an issue, I didn't want to have to send it back. I wanted to just go over to the store and let them deal with it. But ultimately, here's the story. I bought a new TV because our TV was fine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We've had it for... I don't know, like 7 years and six years. And so it's fine. It's a 720p, 32-inch television. But 7 years ago, they were pretty big units, even though they're flat, mm-hmm. like a flat-screen TV. They're still pretty, you know, big and heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in the new house, I wanted to wall-mount my TV.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, my dream is to be able to hang a painting over top of it so that the TV disappears from your room until you need it.
Okay.
I know, pretty lofty dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me and Martin Luther King, not tied. Not tied for awesome dreams. But this is what I wanted to do. I bought the wall mount for the TV we had, and I was like, man, this thing is really heavy.
The wall mount was...
No, my TV.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, geez, like, this is crazy. I'm going to have to drill, like, 8 holes in the wall. I don't want to do that. And I got kids, and if they grab onto it, you know, all the what-ifs, you know, run through your head. So I decided, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to buy a new TV, and boom, they're way lighter, and, you know, this and that. And I did, and it's fantastic. Same size. I still went with the 32-inch TV. I don't need the giant TV. I just want something that's going to be out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But now here's the point. Now I wanted to sell the... I thought, okay, you know what? I told my wife, we'll sell the old TV. No?
For $11.
Well, no, I didn't expect much. I mean, they are very cheap now. You're right. So I figured, you know, like I kind of broke down the prices with her. I'm like, you know what? We'll sell it. We'll get like $100 for it. Like $100. I think $100 for a fully functioning HDTV is probably reasonable.
You're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. That's
yeah.
fine. You know, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 50. If it's 50, I'm just going to keep it.
That's right.
You know, and I don't care. Like, I'm not going to cry about it. But I think, you know, if I was a student, if you're going to go drop $100 on a decent TV that's still fully functional, it's great. There's nothing wrong with it, unless you want to wall mount it with kids. Maybe it's $75. That I'd be fine with that.
Okay.
So barbecue guy from a few episodes ago.
Right. Didn't want to wait in line for his kids to have hot dogs first.
Right. Ate before, not just his kids.
All the kids.
Ate before all the kids, which
right.
was awesome.
Right, right.
But also, he's also the one who was manning my barbecue and then wouldn't beat it when I showed up again.
Right, right. He was infringing on your barbecue safety circle.
Yes. Absolutely. The safety circle. just the social contract. The barbecue social contract was broken.
Okay.
So this is the guy. So they're looking for a new TV. And so I said to them, all right, I want $100 for it. Again, if I don't get it, I'm not going to cry about it.
Right.
But for $50, I will take it outside in the street with a hammer and smash it. Because that is $50 well spent.
Right.
So anyways, so he starts asking me all these questions. Well, okay, yeah, well, does it, what does it have? Is it full 1080p? Does it have a USB? Can you plug the USB stick in and pause live satellite TV? And I'm like, yeah, it's $100.
Right.
I mean, it comes with a car. It comes with a Porsche. But now it's $56,100.
Yeah.
So I'm
guessing you didn't make the sale.
No, we didn't. We didn't shake hands on that deal. That one went south quickly.
Yeah.
I just hung up in the middle of it. I'm like, I can't have this conversation. It's $100. Like, what do you expect? Like, if it works for $100, I think you're good to go.
Right.
I think you're all right.
Did you tell him that you were going to include? You're going to make him pay tax, local taxes.
I think in Germany you're supposed to do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're supposed to do that in Canada actually too.
Yeah.
But we don't.
No.
So there's that. So I'll fill you in if we do sell it or if we don't. I'm assuming a student will want it for $75. I don't know.
I'm going to say they're not going to want it.
Great. You know what? It's going to be a wonderful social experiment. I don't care. If I don't move it, I'm probably not going to go broke.
Right.
So I'm okay with it either way. It would just make my wife feel better if we moved it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm not going to be the guy who on Craigslist who's like, well, I paid $400 for it in 2007. Like, to tell you how old it is, I watched Barack Obama get elected president on this television.
Okay, yeah.
So that pretty much, I think that's when we bought it.
Okay, so here's my next question. How much was the brand new, super light, 32-inch new TV?
I bought the expensive one at like $280.
That's why I'm saying there's no way your 7-year-old TV fetches $100.
Maybe not. But what is it? Where is the? Because there is a kind of a cut point. Though.
Yeah, I bet you. No way you're getting more than $50 for that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Then it goes in the basement.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is fine. And again, we'll test the waters. I'm not going to bet the television on it.
Because if you bought the high-end one, if you were buying a unit that would still have those features, which probably doesn't exist anymore,
no.
I bet you it's $150 brand new.
If you can find it,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying.
This one is a name. This one is a Samsung. It is a name brand. I'm sure you can find the, the Happy Lucky one for $200. I don't expect
you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Like, again, I am one of those geeks that every week gets the flyers with all the TV stuff. And even though I'm not in the market, I have no interest in buying anything. I always like to browse.
Right.
I'm a window shopper for electronics, and every one of those name brand TVs, the bottom has fallen out of that whole market.
Oh, unbelievably so. Yeah. Like, to the point that when we paid $400 for ours, like, we thought, wow, this is almost free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't be the craziest guy who says, yeah, I paid $400 for it, so I want $399, no tax.
Right, right.
I understand that the market has dropped. But anyway, moving on.
Okay. All right. TV discussion. But this is all very pertinent. This is all very pertinent to our lives.
What is going on?
Big news. Huge news.
Oh.
In the realm of my photography. After last week's topic and speaking with Don, I decided to try out the Lightroom 5 cloud. There's a free trial, so you basically can go on Adobe and sign up for an account, and then you can use whatever applications that Adobe offers for a 30-day free trial. I just chose the ones that I would be most likely to purchase, the Lightroom 5 and the mobile app that goes along with that, and then the Photoshop, the latest Photoshop version, and that would be the $9.99 a month monthly subscription. So I thought I'm going to try it to see if it is something that I'm going to switch to, and holy crap, it is awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, so can't say enough. I mean, I don't have a clue what I'm doing yet in Lightroom. Like, I mean, the program itself seems relatively straightforward, but the nuances are very different from what we are used to in Aperture. So right. I am sort of sorting my way through. Adobe has like a full TV channel that you can just watch tutorial videos. So gradually, each night I've been trying to watch one or two, you know, 7 or 8 minute tutorial videos just to kind of save myself some time from just trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that. But the huge leap forward for me anyways is this this mobile app. So you go and you download Lightroom for your iPad. So you go to the App Store and you download the Lightroom mobile app. And now I can make a collection on my desktop. It syncs to my iPad, but not in the full resolution files. It creates like a smart preview. So it has on your iPad resolution, it looks perfect, except for the file sizes are greatly reduced. I can make whatever editing changes I want on my iPad, and it syncs back to my desktop, and it is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is just, for me, I don't want to sit at my desktop editing photos for hour, 2 hours at a time each night. I love the fact that I can, you know, basically relax somewhere else in the house with my iPad for a little while and just sort through some images that way. And I realize that the screen calibration isn't there on my iPad, but any changes I make, I can slightly tweak if they're off back on my desktop again before I finalize and export them. So
you generally go through all of the photos you took and just pick the ones you like.
Well, exactly.
And then work on them upstairs.
Absolutely. Like, and the flagging system and rejecting and all that is just all swipe stuff. So it is, as far as a workflow goes, it is awesome. And if you are going to be away from your computer for a while traveling or something, you could export to the iPad or sync to the iPad a massive collection of files that you want to go through, and you could work on them offline, and then when you're back to Wi-Fi, just sync them all back again. So again, just a completely different way of doing things that I love, because I prefer to be with the iPad than I do to sit at the desktop and do that sort of initial sorting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely
love it, and it just works flawlessly. So far in my experience, it's amazing. And I think that's all in the very new side of things for Adobe Lightroom. So I think it's only going to get better too. So
great.
Another reason though, for the benefit of the subscription service, is that every time, you know, there's going to be an update or a new version, then you're not going to have to re-up for the next big chunk of software. And like you say, the $10 a month fee seems to me like super reasonable for what you're getting.
But you download something, but you can't use it unless you're subscribing.
Say that again?
So you basically download the program.
Yes.
But you cannot use it unless you're a subscriber.
Yeah, like you have an account and you log into the account. And I imagine as soon as you stop subscribing, or as soon as my free 30-day trial runs out, then if I don't pay for the service, then it shuts you down. But any of the files that you've generated in that time, I mean, you could export them to wherever you like. So it's not like it's going to shut you out from the files that you've created, because they're not being physically saved inside of Adobe's program. They're being saved to wherever you decide to save them, right?
And do you have to be online?
You have to be on Wi-Fi for this whole situation to work. But you have the Lightroom apps are physically on your iPad and on your desktop. So
but can you use them if your internet goes down?
Well, I know you can work offline on the iPad. I assume you can do the same on the desktop without the internet. Yeah, just you can't sync anything back and forth.
Right.
Yeah. So
I don't, I'm sure at some point it would just shut down.
If, yeah.
You know, if you're paying.
Exactly. So I don't exactly know how that whole part would work because, yeah, you are downloading an app. You are installing it on your hard disk. So, but yeah, I imagine at a point it doesn't let you do it. Self-destructs. Your computer blows up if you don't pay them.
I feel, yeah, it just dumps coffee in your keyboard. I feel like we should be the experts on, we should be telling people how this works, not asking ourselves.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Someone anybody, else can answer it. Yeah.
Anybody else know? But, anybody else that doesn't have a podcast?
But my initial review is, oh my God, it is awesome.
Yes. I have used earlier incarnations of Lightroom and it's night and day. You know, the workflow, everything like that. I liked it much better. It's just one of those things. I've been going down this path and so much else in my life has been happening that I can't really afford to just stop and you know, make a right-hand turn. But in the new year, it looks like I'm going to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've had enough of...
Well, and here's another thing I noticed, and maybe you've noticed the same, is that Aperture, and I don't know, this is just how... I don't know enough about computers to know how or why, but Aperture for me on my computer seems to function slowly. Like it's just, it's getting slower by the month, and I can't see in any other way the performance of my computer being a problem, but in Aperture, everything seems to lag. And then I thought, okay, well, this will be an interesting test. As I install this new program, we'll see if it's snappier, if everything functions quicker, and it's night and day as well. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what Apple is doing to me to intentionally make me want to punch my computer in the face. But Aperture, does your Aperture, like, does rendering files, does everything just seem to take a little longer?
No, it's still running tip top.
Is it for you? Okay,
I don't. Yeah, but I'm pretty particular about that. I've run into this situation with other products, and so, you know, like all of a sudden your battery life will just drop, and you think, wow, did they program that? Like on December 1st, it's going to cut it in half. No, I'm really particular about the way I run my computer for that reason, like how much, you know, hard drive space I have and where everything is stored and when do I refresh a library, like how many photos do I have in that library before I start again. Things that I don't want to do.
And my initial hunch is that it has something to do with the files that you're working off, and somehow Adobe is, and then there's probably presets you can make in Aperture to make the files that you're working on much smaller, like this whole smart preview thing. And so I'm guessing it's because I'm working on not the full actual image, I'm working on a much smaller condensed version of it, which makes everything function a lot faster.
Right. That was essentially video editing, like film editing, when they first started doing it, you know, in on computers, was the same thing. You would edit your entire movie. You would edit as a low res version,
right?
Everything, and then you would basically spit out what they call an EDL, an edit decision list, and it would then go and conform it back to the high resolution files, and that would take a long time. But you didn't have to on a daily basis just deal with the super high res files.
Right, right.
But at some point the computer's caught up and now we don't bother. Like I don't know who offlines anymore. We call it offline and online. And I don't know if anybody actually onlines. Maybe when they're shooting 4K or 3D, I have no clue. But it sounds like that, like this is kind of the idea with shooting with giant RAW files. When you're talking about 40 megapixels or whatever we're up to, you know, you kind of need to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great. You know, it ties in with what I just did. Like, I like to keep a lot of hard drive space on my computer, and so I run off a laptop. I wish I could have desktops or an iMac or whatever like that, but because I travel back and forth and you have to work in Germany and Canada and whatnot, I need the portability. So a long time ago, the DVD SuperDrive in my old MacBook Pro just quit. Like, it just wouldn't recognize. Like, I could put disks in, but it wouldn't read them.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what I figured, it just got dirty. A lot of dust, you know, collects in there. And so I bought one of those little CDs with a brush on it that cleans off the lens, and that worked. And it, boom, it, you know, it was brand new again for about 3 months, and then it stopped working again.
Yeah.
And so for the last 2-3 years, it just hasn't worked. And I burn approximately one DVD every 4 years.
Right.
So it's not an issue, but it's just been sitting there. And I thought, well, if it's just, like, why have it just sit in there? Do nothing. Turns out for about $10, you can buy a little plastic adapter kit that will allow you to put a second hard drive in your laptop.
Hmm.
You have to buy the hard drive, of course, but as it turns out, my internal drive was kind of starting to make a few noises. You know, it was getting to kind of to the end of life, and that's how it goes. And so I decided, well, before it dies, I'm going to buy a new internal hard drive.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to buy one of these $10 adapters, take the other internal, the old one, and basically use it at, just as a data drive, as a secondary hard drive until it dies.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have 1.5 terabytes inside my laptop for almost no money.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And so my recommendation to anybody out there who has an old MacBook Pro or even a new one, I think the new ones probably don't have DVD drives anymore. Because
no, I believe they do not.
Again, how often do you use yours in your iMac?
Not often.
No, it's almost never. And so consequently, I would recommend to anybody out there, it's actually a relatively easy procedure to do at home. I did it myself. I did strip one of the screws, one of the tiny screws I couldn't get at. I had to buy a Dremel tool to grind it out of there. But aside from that, it was very simple if you don't strip the screws. And within a few, 20 minutes, you can have another internal drive. And
boom, great. You're off the race. All stuff I'm sure you can purchase on Amazon.
Yes, I bought the Western Digital 1 terabyte drive. So that's what I bought. And the adapter on there as well. So
great.
There you go. That's it.
All right, let's wrap it up. Yep.
Did you shoot anything? You talked about photo stuff. Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I don't think I actually had my camera out. I'll be honest. I don't think I got to it. I had a really busy week with...
You did recycle the Christmas card photo, didn't you?
I did. I haven't been home. So I really did have a week where I have not been at home. So the camera hasn't come out. I shot zero pictures. And I actually, last weekend, I shot two or three photos of the kids in front of the Christmas tree, because I actually thought, okay, I'll get around to making a Christmas card. And so I took a few photos, and I'll post those on the Facebook, because I actually thought they're pretty cute. And then I never got around to it. But I wanted to use my Christmas card that I made a few weeks back for a particular reason, because it's kind of a fun one that I use green screen for, and I just thought it would be fun conversation for the podcast. Whereas if I just put together what I did on the weekend, really, I don't think it adds much to the photography community. So really, I did this for the people.
Taking pictures of your kids in front of a Christmas tree is tough to do well.
Yes, I believe I captured it pretty well. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but pretty well. So I will post those photos.
In front of the tree at your house?
Just in front of the tree at our house, yeah.
Wow, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because My only thinking is that, like, if you are going to take a photo of your kids in front of the tree, I feel like you need a lot of space.
Yeah, we don't have that.
No, I know. And I don't know. Like, I'm talking the amount of space that, like, you have to go to one of these Christmas tree sort of expositions at, like, you know, the Pan Pacific Hotel or whatever.
Right.
That's a plug that, you know.
Sure.
Not a sponsor.
Yeah.
But you have to go down there where you have like this giant open room, and that's how you can make a nice photo of kids in front of a tree. I don't think I have any good Christmas tree photos.
Well, and I didn't try to capture the whole tree or anything. I just used the tree as background.
There you go. That's the key, I think. Great. That'll be the challenge. It's not
perfect. I've already shot it. Oh, great. Two weeks in a row. I don't have to do one.
We don't put the tree up until Christmas Eve here, so doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will not take that one.
My spoiler for my photos, again, looking for any opportunity to use the Alien B and the brand new softbox that I got from Paul Buff. So I did it. It's all done with the one light of the Paul Buff softbox and the Alien B strobe. So I do love that combo. It is super fast to set up. It's faster than using a speed light. It's a little bit more bulk if you go on location to bring with you, but it is as fast, if not faster, I will argue, to get it all set up. But it's all manual controls. But let's be honest, for both of us, I mean, unless you're doing the high speed sync and the outside and the ETTL with fast moving children, manual is the way to go anyway. So
I agree wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
I shot my son's birthday this week.
Well,
my son turned one.
That's big.
Yeah, I couldn't leave the camera in the bag for that.
Yeah.
Although it was tough. It was because my daughter, she's a summer kid.
Yeah.
And so her birthdays are all outside in nice weather usually. Well, actually, not the last couple of years. But the point is you're outside, so it's a very different animal. And when you have your kid's birthday inside in December and a million kids running around jumping in front of you, it's tough sledding.
Right.
That's a tough situation. So I didn't get as many pictures at my son's first birthday as I did with my daughter's first birthday.
Also, second child thing where,
Yeah. That happens. I mean, and it's not even a situation where I don't care. It's I kind of learned from my ways and went, wow, I don't need that many photos.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we're noticing. After the first year of having the two kids, just realized, wow. I even edited them down with my daughter. So you can imagine where I started from. And now I'm like, nah, not don't need that. Need one. One from this month. One from December.
Yeah.
That's it. Come on, you remember,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I of the kids now, it's got to be some kind of monumental event for me to pull it out to take photos of them. I mean, I probably, if I look at December, January, February, March from 2011 and then compare it to 2014, there's about a tenth of the amount of photos.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, your kids are pretty boring.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, to be fair.
Yeah.
There's that, but the only thing that was interesting during my son's birthday is we brought the cake out. And I made the cake, and once again I'm warming up to Adam Schwartz cake decorating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not approaching you yet. You go crazy with that.
Minimum 2 hours decorating.
Oh, see, that's the thing is I don't do that. But I do make the entire cake from scratch.
That's
myself.
Good. I don't do that part. My wife does that part.
You want to know the secret?
What's that?
It's not that hard.
Okay, I'm not a baker.
Sorry, you don't have to be. I don't want to blow it for all the women out there who have this ruse going that's actually a thing. But baking a chocolate cake is kind of like a walk in the park.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. It's my wife's not listening. Don't worry. Yeah. No, it's actually not that hard. No, to be fair, I don't go crazy. Like, I'm not, making like a Black Forest cake or nothing like that.
Do you use coffee?
With a kid's cake? No.
Oh, you should load that thing up with coffee. That's what I've heard. Again, don't bake, but I've heard
magic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let them run around in circles. Like,
no, that's absurd.
Is the caffeine, like, we're not talking about a pound of coffee. Like, apparently it's a small amount, but... Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I've heard coffee is, and what it does is it creates a moistener.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, yeah.
I don't like, but see, okay, now we're getting into a weird area. I don't like my cake to be too moist because I drink it with coffee and I like the combination.
Double down on the coffee. Yeah.
No. So anyways, point being, back to photo stuff.
Okay? I've apparently struck a chord.
Well, you've derailed it. I'm trying to stay on topic. And so,
well, that's
so we bring the cake out. So we bring the cake out. And what they don't do here, which sort of, it doesn't upset me because we're the only ones that do it, is they don't bring the cake out and sing happy birthday to the kid. It just it doesn't happen.
Okay. The cake's just sitting there when the kids get to the table?
Or there's no birthday cake or something. Like, or everyone else makes a cake and they bring it here. And I said, no. We're going to sit everybody around the table, and when I bring the cake out in the dark, you're all going to sing, or you can get out. P.S. Grab a TV. They're $100.
Yeah.
And so everyone's sitting around, and so I bring the cake out because I made it. So, there's that. And so my kid, who's never had cake before, we wait till he's one. That's kind of how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's cheering. Like he knows what's coming, like he's had cake. He just can't wait for this cake to come. And so I had already preset my camera and with a flash on camera flash just to bounce into the kind of at a 45 into the wall and the ceiling, just to get a nice even light and hand it to my wife,
mm-hmm.
and get her to snap a bunch of photos. And so she does. In the middle of all this, so I give him the cake, we sing the song, he blows out the candle with my help. I help him cut the cake, and he starts eating the cake, and my wife is just firing away, boom, 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 boom.
I like the sound effects.
Yeah. I practiced all morning, too. At one point, I look over, and her mom is sitting between 8 and 12 inches behind her and to the left.
Okay.
Right where the flash is bouncing, like is firing directly into her face. from 8 inches away, it is just hammering her, but she's not moving.
Right, because she can't see.
I don't know that she even noticed. I don't know what happened. I think she may have to go to the eye doctor.
Right.
To see. Maybe she's already blind. I don't know.
Yeah.
But this is going on and on. So if, essentially, the light that's hitting my son is bounced off my mother-in-law.
So when it hits him, does it have a weird scowl on its face?
No, but the color temperature is different.
Oh, okay.
It is set for to bounce off the white wall, and it is bouncing off her skin, and you can see that it is kind of a warm. What I'm saying to everybody, if you would do want to warm up your shot a little bit, bounce it off your mother-in-law's face.
Right.
So at one point, I actually had to stop and walk over and just stop what was going on.
Right. Stop the insanity.
I couldn't believe it. Eventually, she's going to have to say, wow, my eyes really hurt. Because, again, it was very dark in there, so the flash is firing on ETTL, but it's likely going off like a 580 EX2, likely at full power.
Right.
Especially since most of the light is getting eaten by her face. So the ETTL is saying, oh, we got nothing here. We better cramp it. Can I go 110%? Yes, let's do it. So I included a photo because in this photo you can see here's my son enjoying his cake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's having it and he's eating it.
Right.
In the background, in the window, you can see the reflection of my mother-in-law getting nuked.
Yes, that is awesome.
So there you go.
Maybe she just thinks this is how they do it in Canada, because the rest of the way this birthday was going down was very much the Canadian way. So she just thought, oh, okay, right. This is what always happens. The mother-in-law takes the flash in the face 1,400 times.
It could be that. And right after this, we did the feats of strength. So it was a pretty good party.
Awesome.
Anyways, so that was, to me, that was interesting, watching her lose her eyesight for no reason.
Yeah. She's the snowman in the reflection, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. She's like Powder's mother.
Did you show Lena this picture?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I say, oh, yeah, I actually mean, I don't remember.
It looks like Sam is thinking, wow, too bad for Nana.
Yeah. Well, Oma.
But, okay. Oma, sorry.
Yeah, we say Oma. But yeah, there's that. To be fair, she's pretty pale. She does work as a bounce board.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But at what point would she not just step in and go, hey, cool it?
Or just duck her head.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
All right.
Just flip the table over, something like that. All right, let's get on to the photo challenge.
Okay.
It was Christmas card. Let's do yours since you shot yours, in 2012.
Yes. Yes.
You should have just crossed out the 2012 and put, in pen 2014.
Yes. So here is mine. The best part about this is how it was created. So okay. I really wanted, a picture where my two kids were sort of arm in arm. They were not having any of it. So this was, I had the green screen out. I had all the lights set up. I was like, perfect, ready to go. All you guys got to do, stand here. I'm going to snap the photo and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do with it to make it look nice and cute. Every year we kind of, this is a tradition that we do a Christmas card photo and the two kids, either one year was giving cookies to Santa and last year I put them on the green screen and I put Christmas ornaments in behind them. And so I've done a number of these ever since I can remember. This is about edition number 5, okay? Mm-hmm. So kids would not cooperate. So then what I ended up with is, okay, I'm going to basically pose them separately, but I'm going to have my daughter stand and extend her left arm out like she's putting her arm around him. And then when I shoot his, I'm just going to do the opposite, and then I'll link it up in post, okay? So this was my thinking. So then I did that.
That
so,
is hard to do.
So it is hard to do. So I did that photo and then realized there – positioning their shoulders. Like, it wasn't going to work perfectly with them just arm in arm around each other, because I couldn't make their arm come out and look like it was hooked around their own their each other's shoulders. So I'm like, no, it's just not happening. So now I'm down to, I need them to be sandwiched, or I need the sandwich meat in between their bread.
Yes.
So then I started hunting for an image that I thought could work. So I looked at Santa Claus. I looked at elves. At one point, I wanted a picture of Will Ferrell from Elf the movie. And I thought, oh, this will be perfect, except for I couldn't find a photo that would work. They're never. It's not high enough res files to go. I'd have to really, really, really go down in the quality. And I want to print these and email, or not email them, but send them out as Christmas cards. So I just couldn't find a picture that worked. And then I came across a picture of a snowman, and perfect. It had greens and reds, and I thought, perfect. So this was like a number of layers in Photoshop. I found some holly. I found I found the snowman, and the snowman had the green little background there that was perfect, because as I did the Photoshop removal of the kids from the green background, I thought, if there's any tiny fragments of green, it'll get washed out in the green background that I found with the snowman. And the pose of the snowman just was perfect to fit it all together. So this is like 1, 2, 3, 4 layers in Photoshop. So, and again, it didn't take me that long, but it was really a matter of finding an image that I could make work with the poses that I had concocted.
It did take you longer than them cooperating, though.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. And I was done with them. So I was.
This is why Daddy drinks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I always say to my wife, making memories is hard work. That's the t-shirt slogan that I need, is every time I go through this, and the kids are always like, you know, now we're at the point where I don't bring the camera out enough for their liking. So they're like, oh, Dad, get the camera out for this. And by the time I get it out, it's like, yeah, no, we're not cooperating now, you know?
Wow, they're playing you like a fiddle.
Yeah, so by the time I get stuff set up, I'm just like, I've had it with either you're gonna do exactly what I say, or I'm just putting it away.
Oh, you're that guy withholding.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, you asked me to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Either now, you know, cooperate with the photographer, or I just, you know, I'm skipping this memory.
It's the camera or the belt.
Yeah.
Your choice.
Yeah. So there you go. So pretty simple, but of all the years that I've done these photos, this one's probably the most intricate with the different layers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this will probably be the best Christmas card that any of your friends gets.
Oh, I always say that about my work.
Right, but I mean, there you could get some Kitschik stuff at the mall.
Oh, right.
That sort of goes this way, but they kind of phone it in.
Yeah.
But this will be much, much better. Speaking before we carry on, though, I meant to mention at the top of the show, you said t-shirts. The t-shirts are ready.
Yes.
Yeah. So the store is ready to go. When you hear this, we'll put a link to the t-shirts on the website.
Perfect, and I will order 10. It's what everybody's getting for Christmas.
You know, I want to mention actually about pricing too. I want to talk about pricing, because we set the price. There is a minimum, right? Like that the company charges.
Okay.
Obviously, I think, and then we basically set the amount that we get on that. And so we do get a little bit of money from the shirts.
Okay.
It's not crazy, but obviously, you know, our kids like to eat, so you know, we're going to take something. But it's not huge. But I want to point out that originally I like nice round numbers.
Okay.
I don't like the $24.99 nonsense.
Right.
In life.
Okay.
Okay. And so there's two angles to this. One is we set up in the Canadian store, and so the prices will be adjusted depending on where you are. So I think in the States it'll be a little bit cheaper. Okay.
Yeah.
Than the Canadian prices.
Okay.
So that will alter. I don't know what that's going to be. I'm not in charge of that. But the point being is, originally I had set the price at a very, what I think to be reasonable, $25.
Okay.
For the shirt.
Okay.
But the way shipping works is the way they charge based on price, and so if you order from zero to $50 to $49, shipping is, I forget what it is, like $4 or something like that.
Okay.
From $50 to and up, it goes up to like $8 in shipping.
What?
yeah, I guess the idea being that you're buying more stuff.
More
I don't
packaging,
know.
Bigger size to ship, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not in charge. I don't okay. really care. I'm not in charge of them. I'm not getting too involved in it.
Right.
All I'm saying is rather than charge $25, and then if someone buys two shirts, they have to pay way more shipping, we purposely lowered the price so that two shirts would still fall in the cheaper shipping.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I didn't want to do this $24.99 nonsense.
Right.
So it's $24 in the Canadian store, and I think $22 or $23 or something like that in the U.S. store.
Okay.
So there you go. That's a heads up on the shirts. That's why we chose that pricing. We knocked it. We're eating a little bit, and not because we want, you know, I don't like to throw around the word hero lightly.
Right.
No, not for that reason, but I just for me, it seemed a little bit odd. Like, I thought you would do it based on weight, but they're doing it on pricing, and so thus I want to save everybody. I want to encourage people to buy two shirts and pay for one set of shipping. So
right, okay.
There's that. Okay,
your photo. Or do you have any comments about this, or no, we're just going to move on?
No, I like it. I definitely, besides the fact that you phoned it in, I knew you would, but
yeah.
No, it is really good. It's a great example of a good save. Like this. If this shows up on you know on our fireplace, which I don't think you send them to me because it probably costs you know like $12 to mail something to me.
I'll email you a copy.
That's fine. I'll just you know what do that and I'll print it out here and we'll call it even.
Okay.
Because not like you're going to sign it, right?
No.
I'll just sign it for you.
Okay.
Anyways, this will definitely stand out on the Christmas card you know mantle
right.
or wherever you do them. If anyone gets these, and it's personalized. I love the personalized stuff, which I think people are doing more and more of anyways. I'm sure, you know, you want the log cabin painting in the snow with the fire, you know, the smoke coming out that everyone had, the Norman Rockwell something, but this is personal. I love it.
Okay.
And a great save, because I know what kind of a tough situation you're in here, and, you know, already pulled that out of the fire.
Thank you.
So here's mine. I shot literally an hour ago.
Okay.
When did we start recording? About an hour ago, and yeah, it was. I literally just my kids were sick all week. Not all week, for 2 days, and during the 2 days I had to shoot, they were sick. So it was right up to the last second. I shot this shot of my kids. Boom.
Nice. I like it.
They're kids.
Yeah. I like it. Of course, it's not on the same level as far as the extra Christmas details.
Ah, see, this is the thing, but this is where you and I part ways, though.
Yeah.
I'm not so bold as to say I'm right, you're wrong, or whatever, but I always prefer very, very simple things.
Mm-hmm. It could be. It could still be simple and better, though.
By adding what? By adding like a you know some holly?
No. I just think like a different background color.
No, I want to. I like the white simply because this kind of reminds me of the sort of the Gap ads for Christmas time. Even though the kids are wearing Roots clothing, it was just kind of a crossover.
And then that would be fine if it was white, but it's not white.
Well, on your screen, it's not white on mine.
I just calibrated, buddy. This is definitely beige. Like that background is like beige.
Oh, is it how beige?
Beige enough that you know it's not white.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on mine is coming in as white.
And like there's a definite gradient. Like top right where Merry Christmas is much whiter. The whole left side of the frame, anything besides Sam on his side is definitely coming in considerably beige. Enough that it's like, all right, it wasn't white.
Really?
So yeah, I think if it was flat white, then I'm fine with it. But the fact that it's beige to white gradient, like it's a definite gradient, then to me that's like I just wish that was a pure color.
It doesn't come in. It doesn't not register on my screen.
Okay, well there you go. Maybe it's just our monitors, but yeah, that's my only beef. I love the rest of it, and I have nothing, no issues with the simplicity at all.
You don't want to insult my kids.
No, I love Sam's expression. Your daughter phoned it in a little bit.
This was you getting the two of them as you well know, getting the two of them just to appear in the same photo is hard enough.
Yeah.
She wasn't punching him in the mouth, and so that was a plus.
Yeah.
But getting them both to smile at the same time, that's tough.
Oh no, that's the white herring. Is that what it's called?
Red herring.
No,
white elephant.
White elephant, red herring. Yeah, but clearly he is into it.
Yeah, he was actually having a pretty good time. Yeah. Yeah, and those are the new pajamas. At the top of the show, you probably heard my daughter mention that she got chocolate and pajamas from Nicholas. That's what we do on December the 6th, mm-hmm. and that's what Nicholas brought. He brought them Canadian pajamas, and so...
At what point did he fall off that table?
He didn't. No, it's a bench. Oh, but okay. even more so, it's even smaller than that. It's a bench, yeah. No, he didn't. I was fully letting, you know, let the chips fall where they may. You'd think being out of frame, I would have put some pillows down or something. But no, he's a tough kid. And so it was just the hardwood.
Nice. Well, it's definitely a good one for years to come. You will look back at this photo and say, hey, that's cute. They're at that age. It's Christmas. It has all the necessary elements.
Well, I'm going to Photoshop the background white now.
Maybe clean up the background, yeah.
Wow. I'm glad you pointed it out. Again, it looks good on mine. So, but you didn't get the subtle dig at you, huh?
What's that? Oh, I did. I wasn't going to mention it, though. The apostrophe S. No, I was going to leave it alone.
You don't have to mention it.
Yeah.
That takes the wind out of my wife freaked out when I mailed it to her. She, what?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, no, I'm going to leave it alone. It's a special little treasure for the listeners. Hidden gem in this year, in yes. this year's soon to be Christmas episode.
I feel the need to point out that I did it on purpose.
So. Okay. I know you did, but I wasn't.
Yeah, I know you. Yeah. I know you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. This week's topic.
Is there still a topic after all of the photo discussion we've had so mm-hmm. far? There's still a topic.
We like to jam pack it like Dawn does.
This is like a full stocking worth of Christmas gifts.
It will spill over into a second stock. It's one of those stockings. Remember the stockings, the novelty ones that like one of your friends' dads had that was like life size?
I know what you're talking about. I've never actually live seen one.
Really?
No.
You had the worst childhood.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Like, wow, who does that? You know? But we knew people who had them.
And you fill it with newspaper?
I don't know what you fill it with. I didn't get too far into it. I was like six, you know? Like, to me, it was like, oh, the greatest thing. But then realistically, I guess, you know, it's like you got to dig really far for your orange.
Right.
You know? So, eh.
Okay.
This week's topic, 5D or 6D? That's the topic.
All right. Oh, 5D, a specific model or?
Well, this week it's actually 5D Mark II.
Yeah.
Versus the 6D.
Right.
Now, this comes to us in the way of a question. And I wanted to share an email. We got an email this week from, he goes by Stephen Flo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he told me that's his online name and his professional name and business name and all that stuff. And this one's addressed to me, not you, so...
Okay, yeah.
But he said, thanks again for the always entertaining and informative podcasts. I've been listening since the beginning and have gone from a complete amateur turning the knobs on my T3i at random to actually getting paid for my photography.
Okay.
Now, see, that's the kind of story we'd like to hear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Once you get paid, man, you start buying T-shirts like they're nothing.
That's right.
No, but he actually mentioned he wants to buy a T-shirt, but that's something else. Anyways, I plan to upgrade to a full-frame camera soon. Mm-hmm. And my question is, if you had to do it over again today, would you buy a 5D Mark II or a 6D, and why? Assuming that they are both in similar condition and close in price. I'm leaning towards the 5D, but I've read that the 6D has better specs. My hope is to turn this even more into a profession, so I'm looking for something solid, long-lasting, and quote-unquote pro, not an upper-end consumer camera. So, what do you think? Now, I have a 5D Mark II. You have a 6D. What are your thoughts on what would you buy right now? I mean, we know what you would buy. You had the opportunity to buy
either. Yeah, I could have bought either, and I could have saved $250 to buy the Mark II. How long has it been since they've made Mark IIs?
Quite some time.
And that right there to me is the reason. If you're buying today, it's a no-brainer. The technology has improved. The sensor in the 6D is superior to the 5D Mark II, And that alone would be why today you would buy the 60. But then even something as simple as resale value. So because the 60 is a current camera and the 5D Mark II is a two-year-old camera, if you're buying them today for the same price...
Two-year-old. Oh, no. It's more than that.
Three, oh, four... Five. Since they've made it, it's been that long?
I think it came out in 2009.
No, but when did they stop production on it?
Maybe 3 years
now. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they haven't been making them, period, for a few years. Not they haven't been making them for 6 years, just that they stopped production on it. So because they stopped production on it and it's been 3 years since they've been making it, if you're paying the same price for it, you're getting ripped off. Like that's the bottom line. The 5D Mark II should be a few hundred dollars cheaper at least, based on everything that I've seen. So the 60
Wait, are we talking about new versus used?
Well, I guess, are you going to find a new 5D Mark II now?
No, I meant like a new 6D.
Oh, okay. But yeah, but it's for the same reason, if you're buying a new 6D, they've only been in production for a couple of years, so you're going to have a substantially reduced shutter count on a 6D, less wear and tear. I just don't think you're going to be able to find same used condition of those two cameras, so I kind of think that that's a point that's not even relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think if on a price, on a basically the same price...
Yeah, same price. Camera. Resale value on the 6D is going to be far better. So if you bought, if you were to buy them, that's another reason. If your intent is, okay, I'm going to buy a 6D now. In 2 years, I'm going to try to, you know, if it's a business thing and I'm going to try to upgrade to a 5D Mark III, I want to know that I'm going to be able to get a good chunk of my money back. In which case, another reason for the 6D over the 5D Mark II, ease of use. From everything that I've read, again, I haven't spent much time. I spent a little bit of time with a 5D Mark II, but not much. I spent more time with a 5D Mark III. I've had an opportunity to try it out from a few different people who've let me toy around with it. And the 5D Mark III ease of use is far superior to the 5D Mark II, in my opinion.
In terms of what?
Ease of navigation of the menus, the controls. It's far more similar to the 6D, and the 6D is a super simple, easy to use camera. And I mean the upgrade, the big difference to me between, and again, this is the 6D to the 5D Mark III, is the huge difference is the number of cross sensor type focus points. So
do you use those?
I do not, but then again, I shoot mostly portraits where my subjects are pretty still. So, but if you were shooting fast moving sport action, to me, I would either buy the 770? Is that that's the crop version? And what's that? The new one is the 70D. Is that what it's called?
7D Mark II, I think.
Yeah, so I would buy that or the 5D Mark III if you were wanting full frame, just because of all of the different the focus points. But the 6D has a remarkably accurate center point, which is what I use 92% of the time.
This is one of the things that my answer, I did answer him in an email. I said, first of all, the good news is, no matter what, you're asking me if you should, you know, get a Porsche or a Ferrari.
Right.
These are phenomenal cameras. Like the 5D, I love my 5D Mark I, the classic. I love that camera.
Mm-hmm.
But most things, the Mark II is better. And I don't have much time on the Mark III, like a little bit of goofing around, but nothing, you know, I can write home about.
It's awesome.
Right. No, I'm sure it is. Otherwise, they wouldn't be selling any. I absolutely love both of my 5Ds. So they are great cameras. So you can't go wrong. And the 6D, in what little time I've had with yours, it's the same kind of thing. I think, wow, this is a phenomenal camera. So that's the good news. So you can't really go wrong.
No, I don't think you're going to be unhappy with either choice either.
I would think if it's the same price, I would think you'd probably go with the brand new camera, the brand new 6D. But I'm thinking you're going to get a 5D Mark II used for cheaper than a brand new 6D. No?
Oh, absolutely. Right. Like $500 cheaper, I would think.
Yeah, so if you can knock $500 off, let's say you for the same price you can get a 5D Mark II and an 85 1/8 or a brand new 6D body, do you have the same answer?
Yeah, again, it's tough. It's a tough one because again, all my experience is with the 6D, and I love that camera. So it's hard again for me because I'm so biased on the one side. But maybe, again, it depends on how much that extra few hundred dollars means to you, right?
And what you get for that, though. I mean, what here's the thing is what I've noticed. I had never heard people talk about the ease of use with the 6D versus the 5D Mark II, because I love the 5D Mark II. I have it programmed exactly how I want it. I got it down to the point. And now this is all muscle memory. This would happen with anything. This happens with my new TV remote that I just got. I don't know. I mean, I know how to use it because I can figure it out. But I don't have the muscle memory down from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And so turning it on and off, the button's in a different place. And so I'm used to one thing. Now, with my Mark II, I've got so much, you know, so many hours on it that I can operate that thing with my eyes closed.
Now,
I change the settings.
No, I was just going to say a few other features that just as I'm thinking about it, because I hadn't thought about all the different things, but the Wi-Fi function, which is kind of the way all the newer cameras are going, that is a feature on the 6D and doesn't exist on the 5D Mark II. So again, depending on what your plans for use are, but I know a lot of people, you know, tether their, if they're doing it for work, they tether to a computer. This saves you a step. You can bring your iPad along and you can essentially preview any of your images for clients on the iPad, which is a super awesome feature. Or you can email a picture via your iPhone now that everybody in the universe seems to have, just by, you know, taking the picture. And then again, there's an app on the phone that I can email directly from my camera, send it to my phone and then email that picture direct. So again, certain features that just don't exist. And then the low light thing is huge, like a massive leap forward in the high ISO quality on the 6D versus the 5D Mark II. So the 6D rivals the 5D Mark III at every ISO because of the fact that it's the same sensor in the camera.
If you use that. Now, that's the thing
that,
is for almost everything that I shoot, and I say almost, but I'll just say everything I shoot, I don't need to go above ISO 1600. It never happens for me.
Right.
And so for me, that would be, you know, throwing money away. I don't need to upgrade to that. Oh, great. You know, this one goes to 25600. You know, that doesn't exist for me.
Yeah. But the quality at 1600 is better on the 6D compared to the 5D Mark II.
Could be. And again, it's a situation where, you know, I'm all good. I'm like that guy who in grade 12 in the 80s got his mullet haircut and just went, you know what? I got it. I'm good now.
Right.
I'm sticking with this the rest of my life. Apples to apples. I think maybe the 60 was going to give you better features. For me, the ease of use on the 60 wasn't so easy, simply because I have the muscle memory on my camera, and with yours it was different. Like that day we shot live, remember?
Yes.
You know, it was a bit of a, you know, I had to struggle with the camera just to make it do what I wanted it to do quickly.
Right.
Which wasn't really a big deal because that can of soda pop wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it was okay. You know, and over time, give me a week and my muscle memory on the 6D will be built up and it'll be no problem.
Another thing that I'm thinking of as we're talking about this is the weight. The 6D is extremely light. Like when I did a side-by-side comparison in the camera store before I bought mine with the 5D Mark III. And again, I'm assuming the 5D Mark II is of a similar weight to the 5D Mark III, but we could check that. The 6D is unbelievably light for a full-frame camera. At the time, it was like head and shoulders the lightest full-frame camera on the market, but I don't know if that's changed now, as far as SLRs are concerned anyways. So that to me is nice. I put it in my hand and it doesn't feel like a crop plastic camera. It doesn't feel cheap in that way, but it is so much lighter than the 5D Mark III, and I'm going to assume the 5D Mark II.
The Mark II is rather heavy compared to it. Now, the 6D does feel cheaper than the 5D Mark II. Now, it doesn't feel cheap. I wouldn't say that. It does feel cheaper and lighter. Like, it is a different build quality.
And why would you see, like, I mean, again, I say light, but I've looked at all of those cameras, and what would you say feels cheap other than weight?
I don't know. The grip feels different, and again, I could be projecting my own, you know, my own biases onto it.
Yeah.
Maybe because it is light, and it does feel, it does kind of remind me more of those, you know, entry-level cameras.
Not at all. I completely disagree. Not at all. Because I have both of them. I use them all the time. I definitely disagree with it.
Having used the Mark II, that's you know what it goes to. Like with the Mark II, I'm swinging two bats and then grabbing yours. It's one bat. That's essentially what it is.
Right.
There are situations where you know too light is a problem. Like there are times where I actually have to sandbag my camera. Now that comes in video use.
Okay.
I don't notice that in still photography, but you know, just by simple math, by if you bump the shutter too hard when you're snapping a photo, momentum wise, inertia, it's a lighter camera is going to produce more jiggle, more motion blur.
Okay.
Now it's probably irrelevant in still photography going from the 5D to the 6D. It's probably very, very, very minor. But for video, having a heavier camera is actually a good thing.
Okay.
I find the 5D way too light in that department.
And the thing is, too, is that if your move, though, is from a crop sensor camera to a 6D, you're still going up substantially in weight. It's mm-hmm. like that. I don't think would be an issue for a person in this situation. Now, if you're going from doing a lot of video work with a 5D Mark II, I don't think you're making the switch to a 6D on its video capabilities. That's just not. That's not a move you're going to make.
It might be a move I make. It might not. I don't think you know Stephen Flo. That's what he's looking to use it for.
Right.
So, I mean, the one thing, there are two things that sway me to tell him to buy a 6D. And that is, one is I would just prefer buying a new camera to a used one.
Mm-hmm.
In the digital world. In the film world, I don't care. But in the digital world, you just don't know, you know, like we've talked about before, you see the picture on Craigslist and the guy's got it, no lens, sitting on his shag carpet. You know, like, mm-hmm. well, that's a tell
mm-hmm.
that wasn't treated very well, and so you never know. I mean, odds are you're probably going to be fine. Things are very well built these days, but I do prefer new over used in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I happen to know he told me he shoots. He's big in the music industry in Seattle in the music scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that means he's going to be shooting a lot of bands in nightclubs. In the club scene, which is not going to offer a lot of light. There's going to be some situations where there is low light.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the 6D is going to outperform the 5D Mark II. On stage, I mean, where there's a lot of light, you're probably not going to even get up to 1600. You're probably going to shoot it around, you know, ISO 400 anyways. But in some of the lower lighting situations that you might encounter, 6D is going to kill it. So there you go.
I have noticed recently, because in terms of finding used 6Ds, they are out there now. They weren't out there last year. I hardly ever came across one, but now they are now whatever a year and a half old in terms of in the marketplace, and so they are starting to show up used. And the nice thing about it is, usually they're not a lot of shutter count on those cameras because people buy them and then they decide, oh, I want to go for the Rolls Royce, and they upgrade to the 5D Mark III. That's probably the most likely reason someone who's only had that camera for a year or a year and a half is now turning around and selling it, is they've decided to go, either they're not into it or they're upgrading to the 5D Mark III because they've heard that, hey, this is the mecca of all SLR cameras. And so right. if you can pick one up and it's got whatever, sometimes I'm seeing on Craigslist, and I don't know if it's always legit or not, but you know, 5,000 shutter count or under that, I mean, for a savings of, you know, sometimes $300-$400, then in a blink of an eye. Whereas the 5D Mark II, which is now, you know, like we talked about, it's an older camera, is still, everyone wants, you know, $1,200 or $1,300 for it. It makes no sense to me.
Like that they're going for now?
Yeah, still. And they were going for that a year ago, and they were going for that 2 years ago. So
now, shutter count, let me just mention why shutter count is important.
Okay.
Shutter count in of itself, not tremendously important.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
Now, what it is, it's like the miles in your car. If you go to buy a used car and it's got 100,000 kilometers on it. Well, if that guy just got in the car and drove 100,000 kilometers and got out of the car, it wouldn't be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But over the course, so how many kilometers do you drive in a year? What's 10,000?
20,000.
20,000.
Yeah.
So in the course of 5 years, he's opened and closed that driver's door how many times, you know? 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 times?
Exactly.
That wears out.
Mm-hmm.
The steering wheel, the gear shifter, the knobs, the all the little things wear out. Now, the engine's probably fine. The shutter count on your car, probably fine. But everything else is just worn down. And that's why the shutter count is important.
It's the only gauge you really have.
Absolutely. So it's a pretty good idea. I mean, you can look at the wear and tear on the buttons and whatnot and see where stuff is worn off. But that's kind of the canary in the coal mine. It'll tell you kind of how this has been treated. Now, if somebody owns a 6D and wants to upgrade to the 5D Mark III and wants to sell you their old 6D, I would jump on that.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly because this is a person who has too much money.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Because most people I know, like in the pro photography business, there are the high end people, and those are the guys on the other shows who like to talk all about how awesome their gear is. They upgrade every time a new upgrade comes out.
Right.
But I find that your basic working pro, middle of the pack kind of guy, tends to leapfrog. So for someone like myself, I would go buy a 5D Mark II. I'm not going to wear out my Mark II until the Mark IV comes out. So I'm not likely going to upgrade to a 3.
Right.
Okay? So if somebody's going to upgrade from a 6D to a 5D Mark III, that means they have barely used their 6D.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And even if they've barely used it, they probably haven't done much with it. They haven't taken it to the beach. They've babied it. They don't know. It's probably, the little old lady who just drove to the market to buy milk once a week. That's who that is. I'm going back to used cars, by the way, just so you know. So in that situation, jump on it. So in the end, you know what? Like I said, you probably can't go wrong. If it was a situation of, you can buy a 5D Mark II and a really nice lens for the same price as a used 6D, now you have a tougher decision to make. But apples to apples, I think Adam's right. I'd probably go with the technology in the 6D, especially from what I hear from the autofocus.
Okay.
I've never had issue with autofocus in the 5D Mark II. I heard people who have. It's never been an issue for me, but I don't hear anybody complaining about the 6D autofocus.
No, and I've gone through generations of cameras now. So from the, when we started the podcast, I was shooting the Rebel XS, and that sucked. I missed focus more than I hit it, I think, most times, especially when I was using wider apertures. To the T2i, which was awesome, such an upgrade that, again, it was rare that I missed focus, to the 6D, where if I use the center point, I never miss focus. Like, it just doesn't happen. The camera is better at it. I mean, there's situations where, it's fast moving, where it's just you're not going to get it every time no matter what, and you're using the servo mode. But if the subject is standing still, that camera's not missing focus.
There you go.
So there you go. Center point is unbelievable.
Yep, go with the 6D. It looks like apples to apples, 6D takes it. Okay. Next week's challenge, Adam, I got one. Unless yours is better, which I doubt it.
Okay.
Take a picture with a 6D. No, I can't do that. I'm not upgrading to that.
All right.
'Tis the season.
Perfect.
Oh, you know what?
I can use my photo from last week.
Wait a second. When does this one come out? We have 2 weeks to take this photo.
Okay.
Because you know what next week is?
Next week, the Christmas show?
Next week's the Christmas show.
And we don't do photo challenges on the Christmas show.
We don't even talk about pictures.
Right. Yeah.
We'll probably talk about, I don't know. I have no idea what we'll talk about.
Gingerbread.
Maybe. No, I have some ideas about what to talk about next week, but there'll be no photo challenge for next week. But we're gonna have one for the week after, and that is 'tis the season.
Okay,
take that for whatever you like. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Great. And have you updated that lately?
No.
Do it.
Okay, I will. I'll update it.
I haven't updated mine in a long time. But you can find all my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links you want to know. And when you hear this, there'll be the t-shirt link will be up there. So just in time for Christmas.
Great.
Finally. That's it, Adam.
Okay.
Until next week, get out there and make better photos.